بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his pure family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the discussion of the meaning, explaining the meanings of Allah's most beautiful names. And we have reached the following names, the 75th and the 76th name. These names are as follows: Al-Hafiz and Al-Hafiz, means the one who preserves all things. He preserves all creatures, guiding them to what he has preordained for them. He created the means that support their livelihood, and he guided them to exploit such means, making clear to them what is good, lawful, evil, and unlawful. Nothing is excluded from his preservation, not even a thing of the weight of an ant. The one who preserves what his slaves do of good and evil, his knowledge encompasses all what they do, their intentions and their manifested deeds, their inward and outward, all is recorded in the book of records, known as the preserved tablet, and he will reward them accordingly. The one who preserves his friends from fitna, from affliction, the degree of his preservation depends on the degree of their compliance with Allah's religion, with Allah's deen, the highest of which is the belief in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah in himself, in his attributes, and in his actions, and what that entails. The person who guards this principle of tawheed, oneness and uniqueness of Allah in this life, Allah promised to let him enter his paradise and protect him from the torment on the day of resurrection. Now comes the name Al-Maqit, the 77th name, and this is in the following chapter in Surah An-Nisa 485. Al-Maqit, the one who is ever all able to do and all witness to everything, the one who preserves all things and knows all states and conditions of his creatures. He gives every existing being its provisions in accordance with his wisdom. This is the name Al-Maqit. The 78th name, Ar-Raqib, and this came in other places, 4:1, and in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:52. Ar-Raqib, the one who is an ever watcher over his creatures, of whom nothing is hidden, the one who is not negligent nor careless regarding their deeds. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. He knows, keeps records of and witnesses all of their works, their thoughts, the fraud of their eyes, and all that their breasts conceal. The one who preserves, observes, and has perfectly ordered everything. The 79th name, Al-Hadi, as in Surah Al-Furqan, and in 22:54, Al-Hadi, the one who guides those who believed in him and in his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the truth and to the right path, the one who has guided his creatures to know of him and of his lordship, that the attributes of creating, commanding, and the disposing of all affairs belongs exclusively to him. the one who guides whom he wishes to the belief in his oneness in accordance with his foreknowledge and wisdom. Allah is Al-Hadi, who guides his creatures to what is beneficial to them and warns them against all that which is harmful. He teaches them that which he or which they knew not. He guides them to the way of righteousness and makes their hearts turn to him, submitting to his command. The 80th name and the 81st name, Al-Hasib and Al-Hasib. You find that in 4, 6, and 662, and in other places as well. Allah is Al-Hasib and Al-Hasib, who is enough to dispose all affairs. For he is the creator who decreed and created everything in exact measures and due proportions. He is the creator of the means which produces sufficiency. Allah is the one who is enough for the newborn because he is the creator of his mother. Enough is he for a witness, and enough is he for those who depend upon him and put their trust in him. Allah is Al-Hasib and Al-Hasib, who is all aware, all acquainted, and all knowing, who is ever a careful, account taker of all things, and who is the swiftest in taking account. Enough is he to call men to account, and sufficient is he for reckoning. As-Sadiq, the 82nd name, As-Sadiq, in 6, 146 and 15, 64, which means the truthful. It means the truthful. And the 83rd name, Al-Warith, as in 15, 23 and other places. Al-Warith, the one who inherits the earth and whatsoever thereon. They all shall be returned to him. Everything will perish save Allah Al-Warith, who will ever continue to exist, and the one who is ever living. Allah is Al-Warith, who inherited the towns, populations which were thankless for its means of livelihood, and who disobeyed Allah and his messengers by doing evil deeds and crimes. Allah destroyed them, and their dwellings have not been inhabited after them except a little. They remain as a lesson for those who contemplate. Knowing that our wealth will return to Allah, the one who inherits everything, he calls upon us to spend it in the lawful ways which he has detailed. The 84th name, Al-Musta'an, as in 12, 18 and other places. Al-Musta'an, the one whose help is sought in executing obedience and in the abandonment of disobedience. He assists and helps while he neither seeks help nor assistance. He neither needs aids nor associates. All creatures are in need of Allah. Enough is he as a protector against all kinds of evil. The best invocation is to ask Allah's help in order to attain his pleasure. Seeking Allah's help comprises two matters: trust in and dependence upon him, the exalted. All of these names that you have heard, so far 84 names, all of them came in the single construct. In the Quran. Now we're going to talk about the 85th name, and this will be from the group which is names in conjunctive constructs. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Names in conjunctive constructs, meaning related names. The related names. These are names of Allah that come in a conjunctive construct, and they are part of the most beautiful names of Allah. For example, Allah's name Ar-Rabb, the Lord, always comes related to other words in the verses of the Quran. We read in Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter in the Quran, we read Rabbul Alameen, Rabbul Alameen, meaning the Lord of creation. The Lord, alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. The Lord of creation. So it is added. This is called mudaf. This is in the conjunctive constructs. And they are shortly called related names. Also, Maliki Yawmiddin. Malik. It's related to Yawmiddin in a conjunctive format, which means the only owner and the only ruling judge of the day of resurrection. So, Ar-Rabb is one of these names. Allah is the Rabb, the Lord. He gives all things the power to grow, to move, and to change, and to whom belongs the creation and commandment. The Master, who has no equal in his sovereignty, predominance, and highness. The one who provides, sustains, owns, cherishes, organizes all that existing. Lordship, which is known as Rububiyyah, is an infinitive noun of Ar-Rabb, is an infinitive noun of Ar-Rabb, of the Lord. Al-Malik, which means the owner, is another name, and it is in Surah Al-Fatiha, verse 4. Also in Surah Al-An'am, in 3:26. And we discussed that meaning earlier. Now we go to the 86th name, An-Nur. An-Nur, which means the light. The light. As in Surah An-Nur, 24:35. An-Nur is one of Allah's names derived from His Nur. This is very important. An-Nur is one, the light means, is one of Allah's names, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, derived from His Nur, derived from His Nur, from His light, which is an attribute established with His self, which is an attribute established with His self, with His essence. Allah, the most mighty and most magnificent, says, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah is the light, the Nur of the heavens and the earth. In this verse, in this verse's construct, Allah's Nur is related in Arabic, in the grammar, fil nahu, is related, meaning it is mudaf, to as-samawat wal-ard. It is related to the heavens and the earth in this conjunctive construct. Some had interpreted this verse such that Allah is the one who illuminates, munawwir, the heavens and the earth and guides their inhabitants. This is from His actions. This is very important. This is from Allah's actions. Okay. Otherwise, it doesn't preclude the fact that the Nur, which is one of His attributes, is established with Allah, with His self. It is common for the Salaf, for the righteous predecessors, rahimahumullah, may Allah's mercy be upon them, to mention the meanings of the attributes pertaining to names, or, underline this, or some of it. By mentioning some of the meanings, they don't negate the other affirmed qualities of such names. As such, one of the meanings signified by Allah being An-Nur, being the light of the heavens and the earth, is that He has illuminated the heavens and the earth and guided their inhabitants by His light. By His light. Light established with certain entities like the sun are referred to as, quote, the light of Allah, Nurullah, established with Allah. These are created lights, completely separate from Allah the Most High. These, the sun and the moon, illuminate part of the earth. Okay, now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon starting the night prayers, which is tahajjud, upon starting the night prayers by saying, Laka alhamdu, anta nuru samawati wal ard. In the agreed upon hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to start the night prayer by invoking Allah, saying, all praise is due to you. You are the light. You are the light of the heavens and the earth. Now, secondly, the texts from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah relate An-Nur to Allah according to the following angles. A. Can we follow those, inshallah, Sister Umm Ahmed? The texts from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah relate An-Nur to Allah according to the following angles. A. That Allah has a nur, has a light related to Him as an attribute of His essence, the same as the other attributes of life, sight, knowledge, might, and so forth. Allah most majestic and most magnificent says, وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا, and the earth will shine with the light of its Rabb, light of its Rabb, light of its Lord. And this, you know, refers to Allah when He will come on the day of resurrection to judge among men, as in 39:69. And if the earth will shine with His light, then He subhanahu wa ta'ala is a nur, light, as stated by His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the light of the heavens and the earth. Grammatically, the light which is related and next to Allah in the construct of this verse, which means, and the earth will shine with the light of its Lord, is not an annexation denoting possession, creation, honor, or preferment, as it is the case in the verses of the Noble Quran, including Bayti, my house, mentioned in the verse that they, Ibrahim and Ismail, may purify my house, that is the Kaaba, for those who circle it or stay or bow or prostrate themselves. That is an addition of honor. The house, adding it to Allah, relating it to Allah, is relating a creature to Allah, and when that occurs, this is in the form of honor, honoring this creature. Also, like for example, Naqatullah, Allah's she camel. Alright, now, so the first thing therefore to remember is that, as pointed here, that Allah has a light related to His essence, and it is an attribute of His essence, the same as the other attributes. And this is different from those creatures that are annexed or related in some verses or through the Sunnah to the majestic name Allah, and that is an addition of honor. B. That An-Nur relates to His most honorable and majestic face. B. That the Nur, the light, relates to His most honorable and majestic face. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the known learned scholars of Islam and a companion, of course, of the Prophet ﷺ, said, نور السماوات والأرض من نور وجهه. The light of the heavens and the earth is from the light of His face. This is reported by At-Tabarani and Ad-Darimi and Al-Haythami, and amongst its narrators is Abu Abdus Salam Az-Zubayr Ibn Abi Hatim and Ibn Ma'in didn't mention anything regarding the status of this narrator, whether he is weak or trustworthy transmitter or otherwise. Ibn Hibban, however, mentioned him in his book Al-Thiqat, the Trustworthy Men of Hadith, and Al-Haythami related that Abu Hatim, meaning Al-Razi, described Abu Abdus Salam, this person, as majhul, unknown. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah reported this narration and said, quote, "It is affirmed upon the authority of Ibn Mas'ud." He also mentioned it in other parts of his fatwa, and Allah knows best. See, Allah's nur is also related to the heavens and the earth. See, Allah's nur, Allah's light, is also related to the heavens and the earth, as in Allah saying, "Allahu nur as-samawati wal-ard." Allah is the light, nur, of the heavens and the earth. And there is no contradiction between the interpretation that this verse means that Allah the Most High is the Munawwir, the illuminator of the heavens and the earth and all that's between, and the saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, which we related earlier, in which the nur is related to Allah's that essence. The interpretation that Allah is the Munawwir, the one who illuminates or the one who guides the heavens and the earth, is true, because لأنها من إضافة الفعل إلى فاعله. It is because it relates the act of illumination to Allah the Most Magnificent. And there is no contradiction whether one says that Allah is the nur of the heavens and the earth بذاته, meaning by His essence, or بفعله, by His act. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله said, quote, "The truth is that Allah is the nur, the light of the heavens and the earth, taking into consideration all of the interpretations. Being the munawwir, the one who illuminates, and the hadi, the one who guides, does not negate the fact that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, himself is nur, is light. Those who negate Allah's attribute of an-nur, the light, erred, committed wrong, by thinking that if they would affirm the attribute of the light, it would mean that Allah is the light falling upon walls and gardens, etc. The fact, however, is that the created light is an effect of the attribute of Allah, the light, An-Nur. We know that Ar-Rahmah, mercy, is an attribute of Allah established with Him. The Rahmah, mercy, present on earth, is an effect of Allah's attribute of Ar-Rahmah, separated from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of the creature is a distinct and separate effect of Allah's attribute of knowledge. The saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, narrated earlier, does not mean or imply that the light on walls or on the surface of the earth is the essence of the light of Allah's most honorable face. The end of Imam Ibn Qayyim's comment. D. Light is Allah's hijab, is Allah's veil. The Prophet ﷺ said, light is his hijab. Light is his hijab, is his veil. If he uncovers it, then the subuhat, then the brightness, the splendor, the majesty and greatness of his face would burn his creation so far as his sight reaches. In another narration, instead of the word light, it is fire, due to the doubt of a narrator by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari's name, one of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And it is reported in Muslim by Ahmad and others. Both narrations stating the light and fire are present in Sahih Muslim. Now the pure fire, quote unquote, which Allah mentioned in the Quran when he spoke to Moses, as in 27:7-8, is also called a light, and it is a light which illuminates without burning. It is a light which illuminates without burning. Allah also called the fire of the lamp a light, as in 24:35. Contrary to the dark fire of hell, which is not called a light. Therefore, the doubt of the narrator between the words light and fire does not prevent from affirming that the light is Allah's veil, hijab. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, quote, there are three kinds of a created light. There are three kinds of created light. The first is characterized by ishraq bila ishraq, illumination but without burning. This is the first kind. And this is the, quote, pure light, like the light of the moon. The second kind, burns without illumination, and this is the dark fire, a black burning fire. The third being a light and a fire, like the sun. Also, the fire of the lamps in this world is described by being both a light and a fire. End of Ibn Taymiyyah's words. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim added, quote, This is the case with the created and witnessed lights. The hijab of Ar-Rabb Allah, the veil of Allah, most blessed and most high, is a nur, is a light, and it is a fire. All of the three kinds of the created lights are real relative to their proper classifications. And if the light of his creation, like that of the sun, the moon, and fire, are real, then how could his light be not real? The light of his face is real too, and fits his majesty, and it is not figurative. Please underline this. It is not figurative. The cases of these mentioned angles represent the cases in which the sifa, the attribute of an-nur, of the light, has been related to the mawsuf, which is being described, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah classified them. The second angle is the idafa, relating of the maf'ul, of the object, to its fa'il, to its active subject. The second angle is the relating of the object to its active subject. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, quote, this is mentioned in the saying of Allah the Most High, مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. The parable, alaykum as-salam, in 24:35, the parable of his light, is as if there were a maish, and within it is a lamp, and the lamp is in a glass, and the glass as it were a brilliant star, lit from a blessed tree, an olive, neither of the east, meaning it doesn't get sun rays only in the morning, nor of the west, nor it gets sun rays only in the afternoon, but it is exposed to the sun all day long, whose oil would almost glow forth, meaning of itself, though no fire touched it. Light upon light, Allah guides to his light whom he wills, and Allah sets parables for mankind, and Allah is the all-knower of everything. It means the parable of Allah's light in the heart of His believing slave. The one having the greatest share of this light is Allah's Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This light relates to Allah being the one who grants it to and bestows it upon His slave. It is also related to the slave. Why? Since he is its place, mahalluhu, and favorable recipient. This light has a fa'il. This light has a fa'il, active subject, a qabil, a recipient, a mahal, a place, hamil, carrier, and substance. This ayah that you see in the text which was recited earlier comprises all of these matters in detail. The fa'il, the one who does this, is Allah Most High, the one who makes the light to abound, who guides to His light whom He wills. The favorable recipient, Al-Qabil, is the believing slave. The place of reception, Mahallul Qubul, is the believer's heart. The Hamil, the carrier, is his motivation, determination, and will. The Madda, the substance, is his sayings and actions. The light which Allah put in the heart of the submitting Muslim is faith in Him, knowledge and love of Him, and remembrance of Him. It is His light, the Quran, which He brought down, the origin of which is in the hearts of the Muslims. Its substance strengthens and increases until it appears on their faces, their limbs and their bodies, even on their clothes and in their homes. On the day of resurrection, this light emerges and runs forward before them. Allah states, as in 66:8, نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم, the believer's light will run forward before them. Amidst the darkness of the bridge, the Sirat. The bridge, what is the bridge? Which is called the Sirat. The Sirat, the bridge over the midst of hell. It is extremely slippery. On it, there are hooks, clouds, and bars. Over it, mankind will pass. The believers, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, will pass like the blink of an eye, like the lightning, like the wind, like the birds, and like the fast horses and camels. Some will be saved, some will be lacerated, then set free, and some will be thrown into the fire of hell. The hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. So, on the day of resurrection, this light emerges and runs forward before them amidst the darkness of the bridge until they cross over it. The intensity of their lights on the bridge will correspond to the intensity, strong or weak, of the respective lights in their hearts in this life. The similitude of this light and its place, its carrier and its substance is as a night. N-I-C-H-E, which is like the chest of the believer. Inside this niche there is a glass from the most crisp and clear kind. In the verse, it is even made to resemble brilliant star in its clarity and purity. This glass resembles the heart, al-mahal, the place, it resembles the heart. The similitude to the glass is because it embodies qualities present in the heart of the believer: clarity, smoothness, and firmness. It sees the truth by virtue of its clarity, kindness, and mercy, and affection originate from it because of its smoothness. It stands firm in holding to the truth, and it makes jihad, striving in Allah's cause against the enemies of Allah, due to the firmness in its structure. In contrast with this enlightened heart, there are two other opposing and blameworthy hearts. One of them is a stone-like, harsh, merciless, lacks beneficence, reverence, and the clarity by which it can see the truth. In fact, it is an ignorant and a tyrant heart. It is neither aware of Allah, the truth, nor it is merciful to the creation. Opposite to it is a weak, watery, neither firm nor strong. And everything, good, evil, wicked, etc., that mixes with it, affects it in its own way. In the glass, there is a lamp. And it is the light and nur that is in the wick. The wick in the lamp is the light carrier. And the substance of the light is the olive oil, extracted from the olives of a tree, growing in the most suitable place, by being exposed to the sun rays all day long. Its oil is from the purest of its kind, clear without turbidity, to the degree that it will almost glow forth of itself. As such is the substance of the believing heart. It is from the quote tree, end of quote, of revelation. It is the greatest blessed thing and most distant from deviation. Indeed, it is the most just, intermediate, and best of all matters. Alaykum as-salam. It did not deviate like the deviation of the Christianity and Judaism. In all things, it bound to a medium course between these two blameworthy extremes. Since the clarity of this oil is so intense, such that it almost glows by itself, and then upon mixing with fire, its illumination as well as that of the fire substance of light intensifies, then this becomes light upon light. So is the believer. His heart is lit such that he almost knows the truth by means of his natural inclination and intellect. His heart, however, has no substance within itself. But when the substance of the revelation touches his heart, and the latter rejoices in its company, its light of natural disposition increases by the light of revelation. And the light of revelation adds up to that of natural disposition, and it becomes a light upon light. Revelation and fitra. Revelation and natural disposition. So the believer would almost speak the truth, even though he may have not heard an evidence. He later hears of the evidence to be identical to what has been attested by his own natural disposition, by the fitrah. Thus it is being a light upon light. This is the status of the believer. He acknowledges the truth in general by means of his fitrah, of his natural disposition. He then hears of the textual proofs and the authentic traditions presenting what he has acknowledged, but in details. His faith, therefore, stems from the attestation of wahi, revelation, and fitrah, natural disposition. These were the words of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, in explaining this beautiful verse 24:35. Rarely you can find something like this, rahimahullah. Back to the statement where, when we talked about the substance of the believing heart, it is from the tree. You know, the olive tree came in the text, in the parable. It is from the quote tree of revelation. Okay. What Allah reveals in His books, revelation meaning, and or inspires to His messengers. This constitutes called the tree. The strengthening of its roots and the heart of the believer depends upon his compliance with its content. That's why there is a variation amongst the degree of faith amongst Muslims. Some are stronger than others in their adherence to the teachings of Islam. There are the obedient and the disobedient Muslims. There are the obedient and disobedient Muslims. Those who mix the substance with ways not condoned by Islam became corrupt, or were led astray. if they don't repent and clean their hearts and follow the way of revelation, they may subject themselves to the punishment of Allah, which may manifest itself in different ways on the individual and or the society levels at large. When the way of uncontrolled lusts and desires takes over the heart of man, he will turn away from the revelation and may choose for himself ways of court worship or court religions that ascribe best to his desires. The goal becomes the life of this world only, turning man to forget as to what occurs after death. He is overwhelmed by the court development, end of quote, taking place around him in all walks of life, and wants to keep court on track. Life turns to drug stores, asking for pills to ease down the rush, or to therapeutic clinics to court relief the worry and the sad heart, or to suicide, sometimes taking others with them. The 87th name of Allah is Al-Ghafir, the one who forgives, as in Surah Ghafir 40 verse 3. Allah most majestic and high is the one who covers and forgives the sins, crimes, offenses of his slaves. He does not expose their vices, faults or evil qualities or actions. The name, 88th name, is Al-Muhyi. Al-Muhyi, the one who is able to give life. This is in Surah 41, Fussilat 39, and in Surah Ar-Rum 30, 50. The 89th name is Al-Alim, the All-Knower, the All-Knower, as in Surah Fatir 35, 38. And also, the 90th name is Al-Allam, Al-Allam, the one who with full knowledge, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:109, and also Surah Sabah 34:48. Now the one whose ilm, knowledge, comprehends all things, the covert thereof and the overt, the small thereof and the great, the concealed and the revealed, the possible and impossible, the lofty sphere and the lower one, the past, present and the future, whoever has known and ever will know what has been and what will be, from whom nothing is concealed in the earth nor in the heavens. The 91st name is Al-Badi', the originator, in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, 117, and also in Surah Al-An'am 101. The one who originated everything and brought it into existence newly for the first time in the most perfected way, not having been or existed before, and not after the similitude of anything pre-existing. The one who originated the creation according to his own will, not after any similitude, and the one who has no likeness unto him, nor an associate or a son. The 92nd name, Fatir, as in Surah Fatir 35:1. The one who created, originated, and brought the heavens and the earth into existence newly for the first time. He is the one who originated the creation from nothing. They are in need of him, and to him alone they are called to submit. The Prophet ﷺ used to magnify and praise Allah the Most High by invoking him by his name. كان إذا قام من الليل افتتح صلاته اللهم رب جبرائيل اللهم رب جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. Reported by Muslim. When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, got up at night, he would commence his prayer with these words, saying, O Allah, the Lord of Jibreel, of Gabriel, and Mikael, and Israfil, Fatir al-Samawati wal-Ard, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who knows al-Ghayb, the unseen, and al-Shahada, the world of perceived and unperceived realities. You decide amongst your servants concerning their differences. Guide me with your permission in the divergent views which the people hold about truth, for it is you who guides whom you will to the straight path. And this is reported by Muslim. The 93rd name, Al-Jami', Al-Jami', as in Surah An-Nisa 4:140, and in Al-Imran 3:9. The one who collects the created beings for the day of reckoning. This is the meaning of Al-Jami'. Now we come to the names of Allah that were mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 94th, Al-Hannan, Al-Hannan, the one having mercy and compassion to his slaves. And Al-Mannan, the one who is very bountiful. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنت جالسا مع رسول الله في الحلقة. Anas reported that I was sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the حلقة, which is learning circle. ورجل قائم يصلي, and a man was standing performing his prayer. فلما ركع وسجد جلس وتشهد, after he made ركوع bowing and sujood prostration, he sat and concluded the tashahud. This is part of the salah, as we know. The tashahud meaning to witness. It is the sitting position in the salah, in the prayer, in which one testifies that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's slave and messenger. So, ثم دعا فقال. Then this man invoked Allah saying, اللهم إني أسألك بأن لك الحمد لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك. O Allah, indeed I ask you by the fact that to you belongs all praise. There is no true God except you. You alone, you have no partners. أنت وحدك لا شريك لك الحنان. وفي رواية المنان. You are الحنان. In another narration, المنان, meaning originator of the heavens and the earth, one that is full of majesty and honor. بَدِيعُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومِ. Oh, one that is full of majesty and honor, O living one. Oh, one that sustains and protects all that exists. Indeed, I ask you of إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ. I ask you paradise, admitting me to paradise, and seek refuge with you from the fire. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his companions, فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتدرون بما دعا؟ قالوا الله ورسوله أعلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his companions, do you know what he has supplicated? They said, Allah and his messenger know best. He صلى الله عليه وسلم then said, والذي نفسي بيده لقد دعا باسمه الأعظم الذي إذا دعي به أجاب وإذا سئل به أعطى. أحمد, أبو داود, النسائي, والبخاري في الأدب المفرد وغيرهم بأسانيد صحيحة. ينظر صفة الصلاة للشيخ الألباني رحمه الله, صفحة 187. He said, by him in whose hand is my soul, he has supplicated Allah with his mighty, in one narration, mightiest name, with which if he is supplicated, he answers, and which if he is asked, he gives. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i, At-Tirmidhi, and Al-Bukhari in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and others with Sahih Isnad, as the Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah commented in his book Sifatul Salah, page 187. Allah Al-Hannan honors the good doers and forgives the wrongdoers when they repent to Him, and even when they turn away from Him, they continue to receive His favors. Al-Hannan, the one having mercy and compassion to His slaves, their evil ascend to him while His favors descend upon them. If this is how Allah the Most High is positioned towards His slaves, then the more so that the slaves be merciful and compassionate towards each other. The Prophet ﷺ stated that Muslims with affectionate hearts are from the people of paradise. وَأَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ ثَلَاثَةٌ ذُو سُلْطَانٍ مُقْصِطٌ مُتَصَدِّقٌ مُوَفَّقٌ وَرَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ بِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى وَمُسْلِمٍ وَعَفِيفٌ مُتَعَفِّفٌ ذُو عِيَالٍ. In the hadith reported by Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, the people of paradise are three. One who effectively exercises authority and is just and fair. One who gives sadaqah, alms, and charity, and whom Allah has directed to that which was good. And the person who is merciful and kind-hearted towards relatives and to every pious Muslim. And one who does not stretch his hand in spite of having a large family to support. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Mannan, the one who is very bountiful. He most graciously bestows His favors, provisions, benefits, blessings, and all kinds of good things upon His creation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily Allah provides sustenance to whom He wills, without limit. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. And He, Allah, gave you all that you asked for, and if you would count the bounty of Allah, you cannot reckon it. Verily man is extremely wrongdoing. A disbeliever, an extreme ingrate, denies Allah's blessings by disbelief and by worshipping others besides Allah and by disobeying Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah the Most High reminded His slaves of some of His favors upon them, like guiding them to Islam after they were lost amidst darkness of disbelief. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. They make it a favor unto you, O Muhammad, that they have embraced Islam. Say, deem not your Islam as a favor unto me. Nay, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you that He has guided you to the faith, if you indeed are true. Secondly, sending Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of Allah's favors. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah verily has conferred a favor upon the believers when He sent among them a messenger from among themselves, reciting unto them His verses, purifying them and teaching them the book, the Quran, and the hikmah, the sunnah, and wisdom, although before He came to them they were in manifested error. Thirdly, the favors which Allah bestowed upon the children of Israel, Bani Israel. Allah gave them might and power on earth after they were humiliated by Fir'aun, by the Pharaoh and his followers in Egypt. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ الْوَارِثِينَ وَنُمَكِّنُ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And we wished to do a favor to those who were weak and oppressed in the land, and to make them rulers and to make them the inheritors and to establish them in the land. Fourthly, The people of paradise remember their state in this life and their fear and their fear of Allah. You know what they will say? قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلُ نَدْعُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْبَرُّ الرَّحِيمُ. Saying, aforetime we were afraid with our families from the punishment of Allah, but Allah has been gracious to us and has saved us from the torment of the fire. Verily, we used before to invoke Him alone and none else before. Verily, He is Al-Barr, the one who is most subtle, kind, courteous and generous, the most merciful. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse, which means, and if you would count the bounty of Allah, you cannot reckon it. The 95th name, As-Subbuh, As-Subbuh, the one who is far removed or free from everything evil, from every imperfection, and from the imputation of there being any equal to him, or any companion and offspring, or anything like unto him, and from everything that should not be attributed to him. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في ركوعه وسجوده سبوح قدوس رب الملائكة والروح. In the hadith reported by Muslim and others, Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها said that Allah's messenger used to supplicate Allah in his ruku', in his bowing in the prayers, and the sujood, the prostration in the prayers, saying, Subbuh, all perfect. Quddus, the one who is far removed from everything evil and imperfection or impurity, or from everything derogatory from his glory, his majesty and greatness, who is very pure and blessed, alaykum salam, and who has no equal to him, the Lord of the angels and the spirit. The heavens, the earth, and all that's therein extol Allah's perfection, purity, and glory. He, the Exalted, the Most High, says, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. The seven heavens and the earth, and all that there is therein, تُسَبِّحُ, declare that Allah is far removed from every imperfection or impurity and from every derogatory form or from His glory. There is not a thing but extols His perfection and praises Him, but you understand not their tasbih, their declaration of Allah's perfection. The 96th name, Ash-Shafi, the healer. Ash-Shafi, the healer. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah, may Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon him, كان إذا أتى مريضا أو أتي به قال أذهب البأس رب الناس اشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. Aisha related that whenever Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid a visit to a patient, or a patient was brought to him, he used to invoke Allah saying, take away the disease, O the Lord of the people. Cure him as you are Ash-Shafi, Ash-Shafi, one who cures. There is no healing of any veil but yours, a healing that leaves no ailment. In addition to the healing from physical and psychological ailments, Allah cures the heart from the ailments of doubtful and dubious matters, envy, rancor, and malicious behavior. Those who put complete trust in the means, medicine and the like, those who put complete, underline, complete trust, believing that they are effective by themselves, are wrong. On the other hand, those who negate that the causative factors have any effect at all are also wrong. The causative factors have effects, but one who renders the cause effective and nullifies their effects is Allah. Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, is the one who has sent down disease and its treatments. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma anzala Allahu da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'a." In the hadith reported by Abu Huraira in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There is no disease that Allah has sent down except that He also has sent down its treatment." He also said, in the hadith reported by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, "Inna Allah Azza wa Jal lam yunzil da'an illa anzal lahu shifa'an alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahilahu." Indeed, Allah the Mighty and Majestic has not sent a disease except that He has sent down a remedy for it. Some are cognizant of and some ignore. This is reported by Ahmad, Al-Humaydi, Ibn Majah, and others. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar authenticated its isnad, and also Al-Hakim and Al-Dhahabi agreed, and Al-Albani as well. Now, this hadith indicates that not all of the remedies are known by everyone. This indicates that not all the remedies are known by everyone. And this means that there is no disease for which there is no remedy, even if the doctors fail to treat some illnesses. It also encourages the research for cures and comforts the spirits of the patient, and the heat of despair will cool, and that will positively affect the patient's strength. It links the patient with his Creator such that he submits to His will, seek refuge in Him, and accept His decrees. On the other hand, those who ignore the proper qualities of the remedy and its usage will forego its benefits. So, if Allah wills, the hadith, there is a remedy for every malady, and when the remedy is applied to the disease. In the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "لكل داء دواء فإذا أصيب دواء الداء برأ بإذن الله عز وجل." The quote, the hadith, there is remedy. And this is reported by Muslim. There is a remedy for every malady, and when the remedy is applied to the disease, it is cured with the permission of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Which means that, quote, if Allah wills, He would make the availability of the medicine easy, and would draw the attention of the user to it so that he would use it appropriately and in time, leading to the cure of the ailment. And if He wills to terminate the life of the carrier of the disease, He will make him fail to heed the proper cure, or He would preclude it by a hindrance that would block its effectiveness. All of this is under Allah's will, under Allah's mashi'ah, and according to His wisdom and foreknowledge. These mentioned narrations comprise the affirmation of the concept of cause and effect, and the invalidation of the opinions of those who deny it. The Prophet ﷺ saying, "Every illness has a cure," could be general, comprising the fatal diseases and those which a physician is unable to cure, incurable diseases. Allah has designated certain remedies for these diseases, but He concealed the knowledge concerning them from the humans, making it inaccessible to them. Human knowledge is limited to what Allah makes available for them. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the healing contingent upon the concurrency between the illness and the cure. For everything Allah created, He also created its opposite, And for every disease there is an opposite, which is its cure. The Prophet ﷺ conditioned the healing upon the correspondence between the disease and its opposite remedy. And this is an additional condition to the mere existence of the medicament. For should the medicine exceed the required potency, or if it exceeds the required quantity, itself will transform to another disease. However, if it is deficient both in quality and quantity, it will not stand to combat the illness, and the treatment will fail. If the timing is not proper, because each drug is composed of one or more active components and characterized by a defined shelf life beyond which it becomes ineffective. So, if the timing is not proper for the use of the cure, it will not be beneficial. And whenever the body rejects the medicine, or it is unable to bear the cure, example, it doesn't properly absorb it or dispense it, or if there is something which impedes the effectiveness of the remedy, no healing could take place due to the incompatibility between the disease and the malady. Otherwise, under the proper conditions of compatibility, the healing will occur by Allah's leave. This is the best of the two intended meanings of this hadith: every illness has a cure. The second interpretation is that Allah did not create any curable illness except that He has created its remedy. Accordingly, the incurable diseases are excluded. And this is like the saying of Allah Most High regarding the wind, which He commanded to strike at the people of Ad: تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا, destroying everything by the command of its Lord. That is, to destroy what now? Anything subject to destruction. Anything subject to destruction. So, the one who contemplates the creation of opposites in this world, and their mutual resistance, repulsion, and mastery over each other, will recognize the perfect ability of Allah, the Exalted, His wisdom, His perfection of creation, and that the lordship and oneness and subduing authority and sovereignty exclusively belongs to Him. Everything other than Allah has an opposite and a deterrent which may threaten its existence. This contemplation leads the person to perceive that Allah is the one who is ghani, rich in Himself, and that He is beyond any need. Everything other than Him is in need and depends upon Allah for its existence. And these hadith urges the use of medicine, and that this does not contradict having trust and reliance upon Allah, tawakkul. Just as the treating of the illness of hunger, thirst, heat, cold by their counterparts does not negate dependence upon Allah. In fact, the reality of Tawheed, the reality of believing in Allah's oneness and uniqueness in His names, attributes and actions, is not complete unless one practically interacts with the causes which Allah has set as prerequisites for the manifestation of their respective effects according to His pre-decree and His commands. Hence, their neglection violates the trust in Allah as well as in His command and wisdom. It weakens the dependence of the one who relinquishes the causes, for he thinks that their abandonment strengthens his faith and trust in Allah. This is wrong. The fact, however, is that relinquishing the causes contradicts the true trust in Allah, which is in reality the reliance of the slave's heart upon Allah to accomplish what is beneficial in matters of religion and in matters of the life of this world, and warding off what is harmful to his religion and his life. In addition to this trust in Allah, it is imperative to utilize the means, otherwise one will be nullifying wisdom and the prescribed sharia, the prescribed laws. The slave of Allah should not make of his weakness a reliance upon Allah, the slave of Allah should not make of his weakness a reliance upon Allah, nor should he confuse his reliance with weakness. These narrations address those who deny treatment and confute their argument that, quote, if healing is a preordained matter, then to treat oneself is of no avail, and if it is not pre-decreed, recovery would be in vain. And since illness occurs by Allah's decree, then nothing can ward off or obstruct what is pre-decreed. This is their argument. In fact, this is the question that was brought before Allah's messenger by a group of visiting Arabs. A group of desert Arabs came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, O Messenger of Allah, should we make use of medical treatment? He replied, yes, O slaves of Allah, use medicine to treat yourselves, for Allah the Mighty and Majestic has not created a disease except that He created a cure, with the exception of one disease. They inquired, what is it? He said, namely old age. This is reported in Al-Bukhari by Ahmad and others. However, the virtuous companions are more knowledgeable of Allah, His wisdom and His attributes, to cite the divine pre-decree as a means of argument. The Prophet ﷺ responded by unequivocal and satisfactory answer. He said, such remedies, Ruqa means legally approved recitation of some verses as a treatment for disease. And Tuqa, things used to guard oneself against an enemy, like defensive armors, shields, and other preventive measures. He said, such remedies are part of Allah's pre-decree. Nothing escapes the pre-decree of Allah. In fact, Allah's pre-decree is warded off by His pre-decree. The warding off of disease is part of Allah's preordained measures, and it is like repelling the preordainment of hunger, thirst, heat and cold by their preordained counterparts, and like the repelling of the enemy by jihad. The propelled and the propelling are all part of Allah's pre-decreed measures. Hence, we say to the questioner, your position necessitates that you should not undertake any of the means that will bring you benefit or ward off harm, since you believe that if benefit and harm were preordained, then they will inevitably occur, and if they were not preordained, then there is no way for them to happen. Such attitude will bring about disintegration of religion and corruption of this life. Only an arrogant and obstinate person will take the pre-decree as a pretext to rebuke the opponent's argument, as was evident in the argument of the polytheists when they said, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشَرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا. If Allah had willed, this is what the polytheists took as a pretext against Allah, if Allah had willed, we would not have taken partners in worship with Allah, nor would our forefathers. They said this in order to argue against Allah's proof, which He established by sending the messengers, inviting people with clear proofs and signs that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And this was their response. If Allah had willed, we would not have taken partners with Him, nor would our forefathers. And you know, this is a futile argument. Well, did they have any really foreknowledge about this? They had no foreknowledge about it, to take it as a pretext against Allah. Okay, now we can take the 97 and 98 names. Al-Hayy wa-Sittir. Al-Hayy means the one who is bashful. As-Sittir meaning the one who shields. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله عز وجل حيي ستير يحب الحياء والستر، فإذا اغتسل أحدكم فليستتر. In the hadith reported by Ahmad, Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i, and Al-Bayhaqi, and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah said its narration is hasan, is good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily Allah the Mighty and Majestic is hayy, sitir, is bashful, and he shields, he loves haya, bashfulness, and loves sitr, shielding, covering, concealment. So when any of you makes ghusl, anyone of you takes full bath, he should conceal himself. And this hadith shows that a man, you know, and a woman also, must cover their private parts and shield themselves when they take a bath, you know, in the open. And you know before how things were. The closed bathroom now is a shield for the naked who makes this bath. And in the hadith of Salman, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى حَيِّيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إذا رفع يديه إليه أن يردهما صفرا. In the hadith reported by Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and authenticated by Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim and Al-Dhahabi said it is a known hadith, and Al-Hafiz declared it as good, and Al-Albani rahimahullah said hadithun sahih, is an authentic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily Allah the Blessed and the Most High is Hayyun Kareem, most generous, is ashamed to turn away empty the hands of his slaves when he raises them to him while in a state of dua. His bashfulness is unlike that of his creatures, for there is nothing like unto Allah in his names, attributes and actions. His bashfulness is an attribute that suits his majesty, and it is his abandonment of everything that does not befit his boundless mercy, his perfected generosity, clemency and forgiveness. The slave openly disobeys Allah, yet he is the one who needs Allah. He takes from his bounties and abuses them in ways of misguidance and disobedience. Despite that, Allah Al-Hayy, the one who is bashful, who is perfectly free of all want, and who has full mastery over him and over all things, forbears to expose his secrets and humiliate him. So Allah Azza wa Jal shields him by arranging for him the means of sitr, the means of shielding, covering and concealment, and then he forgives him and pardons him, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will bring a believer near him and shelter him with his kanaf, with his screen, and ask him, did you commit such and such sins? Meaning on the day of resurrection he will be asked. He will say, yes, my Lord. Allah will keep on asking him till he will confess all his sins, and he will say, I did screen your sins in the world and I forgive them for you today. And then he will be given the book record of his good deeds. Now regarding the disbelievers and the hypocrites, their evil acts will be exposed publicly, and the witnesses will say, هَٰؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ أَلَىٰ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ الظَّالِمِينَ. These are the ones who lied against their Lord. No doubt the curse of Allah is on the polytheists, oppressors and the wrongdoers. Allah's name Al-Hayy was mentioned in the Quran in a verbalized form. In a verbalized form. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. As in Surah Al-Baqarah 226. Verily Allah is not ashamed to set forth a parable even of a mosquito, or so much more when it is bigger, or less when it is similar than it. Being hayy and sitir, bashful, and the one who shields, Allah loves the people of bashfulness. It is known that the Prophet ﷺ considered it a quality of the slaves of Allah when he said, الإيمان 64 شعبة والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. In the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, faith, iman, consists of more than 60 branches, and praiseworthy haya, bashfulness, is part of faith. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shyer than a virgin girl in her privacy. This hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim. He was shyer than a virgin girl in her privacy. One of the righteous predecessors said, I knew that Allah knows all about me, so I was ashamed he would see me committing sin. As if he is remembering the saying of Allah, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Knows he not that Allah does see what he does? The 99th name, At-Tayyib. At-Tayyib, the one who is far removed from every imperfection and deficiency. It is like his name, Al-Quddus. A point of benefit about haya, about bashfulness, that it covers a wide aspect of a human behavior, including modesty, bashfulness, honor, self-respect, humility, kindness. It could be praiseworthy and blameworthy as well. The praiseworthy or good bashfulness or haya is to be ashamed to indulge in anything which Allah and His Messenger has forbidden. Bad or blameworthy bashfulness, quote unquote, is to be ashamed to do something which Allah and His Messenger has commanded. This is just a point of benefit. Now we refer to the At-Tayyib, the 99th name, the one who is far removed from every imperfection and deficiency. It is like the name Al-Quddus, which we explained earlier. Abi Hurairah related that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's reported from the way of Abi Hurairah that he said, Allah is طيب, good, far removed from every imperfection, deficiency, and all kinds of evil. And He, Allah, accepts only that which is good. Allah, At-Tayyib, accepts only the good from the sayings and deeds. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. To Him ascend all the goodly words, and it is He who exalts each deed of righteousness. The goodly words include the remembrance of Allah, the exalted, all the words of advice and beneficial knowledge done sincerely for the sake of Allah. The good people who have belief in Allah Most High, love Him and follow His guidance. They love to say only that which is good. Allah described them in the Quran, الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. Bad statements are for bad people, or bad women for bad men, and bad people for bad statements, or bad men for bad women. Good statements are for good people, or good women for good men, and good people for good statements, or good men for good women. Such good people are innocent of each and every bad statement which they say. For them is forgiveness and generous provision, meaning paradise. Allah the Mighty, the Majestic, guides the people of paradise to the good statements, and safeguards their tongues from each and every bad word. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah says, وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَهُدُوا إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْحَمِيدِ. And they, the people of paradise, are guided in this world or in the hereafter to the purest of speeches. And the purest of speeches, as you know, comprises La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, and the remembrances, the Quran, etc. And they are guided to the path of him, meaning Islam, who is worthy of all praises. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asserted that إن أهل الجنة يلهمون التسبيح والتحميد كما تلهمون النفس. In the hadith reported by Muslim, the tasbih, declaring that Allah is far removed from every imperfection. This is the meaning of tasbih. The Prophet ﷺ said, the tasbih and tahmid, tahmid means declaring that Allah is worth of all praise, would be made easy for the people of paradise as their breath was made easy for them. Paradise is the abode for at-tayyibin, those who are pure from all evil and worship none but Allah Azza wa Jal. The key to it is La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said the following, quote, since shirk, ascribing partners to Allah in worship, is the gravest record amongst the other records with Allah, which will be presented on the day of resurrection, he, the most mighty and majestic, forbade paradise for those committing shirk. No mushrik soul will ever enter paradise. Only those who ascribe to the belief and the tawheed will enter paradise. For the tawheed is the key to its door. Anyone in this life who keeps the right key of tawheed with its, quote, teeth, being properly installed and maintained, will come on the day of resurrection to the door of paradise, holding the only key which will render it open. No obstacle will hamper its opening, unless the person has acquired sinful deeds, wrongdoings and other burdens, whose effects were not completely effaced by repentance. Whereby he will be held off from entering paradise until he is completely purified. If he is not purified by the horrors and hardships of the mawqif, when people will be held to stand before Allah on the day of resurrection awaiting judgment, then it is inevitable that he will enter the fire of hell so as to get rid of his khabath, his wickedness and evil, and be purified from his shameful, disgraceful and filthy actions. Then he will get out of hell and enter paradise, for it is the abode of the tayyibin, the good. None other than the good Muslims shall be admitted therein. الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Those whose lives the angels take while they are tayyibin, meaning in a pious state, free from all evil and worshipping not but Allah, saying to them, Salamun alaykum, peace upon you. Enter you paradise because of the good which he used to do in this world. As regard to the fire, it is the home of evil from the sayings and deeds, food and drinks, and it is the abode of the evil ones. Allah, the Most High, gathers the evil one with the other, heap them together, one on another, and cast the evil into hell together with its doers. Nothing else but evil is to be therein. Since people fall into three classes, those free from evil, which is the tayyib class, the good ones, the wicked having no piety at all, and those in a state of piety and wickedness, then accordingly they will be in three corresponding different abodes in the hereafter. An absolutely pure abode, this is Jannah, paradise. The purely wicked abode, and this is hell. And an abode for those who come with good and bad deeds. The latter abode is the abode for the disobedient Muslims, meaning who are not completely purified from their sins and whose punishment is in accordance with the just decree and will of Allah. And it will become extinct because none of the disobedient Muslims who believe in the Tawheed of Allah will remain in hell. Once they are punished to the degree they deserve, they will be removed from hell and will enter paradise. There shall remain only the abode of absolute piety and that of absolute wickedness. The 100th name is Al-Jawad. Al-Jawad, the one who grants generosity. The one who grants generosity. This is the 100th name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Jawad, the one who grants generosity. Then inshallah ta'ala we'll stop here and we'll continue inshallah the discussion of the other names inshallah tomorrow. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.